This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
I feel compelled to explain the cane. We had a staff development yesterday at Topgolf. I didn't know Topgolf was dangerous. 2 injuries. Mark hurt his hand. Yes. Because we were competing against each other, right? And I did something and I tore a muscle in my hip. I'm not kidding. It's like, go figure. Whatever. Whole week of hiking in the mountains last week, no trouble. Topgolf. I tear a muscle. So that's what's going on. So the prayer book tells us the things that we should do on a regular basis, right? It tells us we do the Eucharist on a weekly basis. And then it wants us to follow the liturgical seasons as well. But it also instructs us, it commands us to present the feasts of our Lord. And you can find them in the early pages of the prayer book if you want to see all of them. And I don't know, several years ago, we realized we weren't doing this. So as a group on staff, we confessed our sins to the Lord. And we were not doing what we were supposed to do. And we committed ourselves to offering the feasts of our Lord, all of them. And so some of them are a daily office in the noonday or whatever. But many of them we have decided to do this way. Do this in this beautiful way. And the most faithful attendees to the Feast of our Lord are the choir. So yes, thank you. We do this, it gives us another story. You know, each Sunday we follow the lectionary. So we have one story that we're following. And in liturgical seasons, we're following another story. And the Feast of our Lord present yet another story about the focus and the work of the salvific work of Jesus in the world. Today is the Feast of the Holy Cross. And to be blunt, it's a problem. It's a problematic feast. It's problematic because of part of how it started. It was problematic because when Constantine made Christianity the empire and then decided to build what is now known as the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, on the site, the proposed site of, of the crucifixion of Jesus. His cousin Helena had what she believed to be the pieces of the true cross upon which Jesus was crucified. And so they took pieces of that, buried it into the altar, and so it was part of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Then it was there for decades, centuries. And then it was the church was destroyed partially, then it was rebuilt, and they found these pieces of the cross again. And unfortunately, they were used almost as like the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament to lead them into battle for the Crusades, right? These remnants of the cross. So this is problematic, yes? It's problematic on a couple of levels. First, it's problematic to imagine that the early followers of Jesus would have wanted anything to do with the tool that was used to execute him. This was a tool the Roman Empire used to execute many people. They were ubiquitous. So there are plenty of crosses all over the place. So for the early disciples to say they wanted to hang on to a piece of that would be like the victims of a school shooting saying they want the weapon that the person used. Can't imagine such a thing, right? So it's a problem. The second is relics themselves, how relics ended up being used as sort of magic, you know, there's sort of a magical thing that you would use to help you gain favor with the Lord or succeed at whatever you're trying to do. So those are problematic issues as well. And then the Crusades, well, we don't have time to get into the Crusades. Right? It's a complicated question. I'm not making light of that. The Crusades are not as simple as they sound. I mean, that is a whole series of class about what was actually going on during the Crusades. But to use a piece of the cross as part of combat is problematic. But it's no more problematic than the cross is itself. Because the cross is problematic. It is interesting, isn't it, that the Christian tradition has decided over these centuries that the primary symbol of the salvific work of the Lord in the world is the cross. And there's really good theological reason for this, and precisely because it's a problem. For the early church to finally decide that the thing that was used to try to squelch out the love of God in the world, when the world did its very best, Jesus incarnate in the world, Jesus walking, talking, love of God on this earth, presenting a way that God wants the world to run, is summarily arrested, tried, crucified, killed, and thrown in a hole in the ground. The world did its best. The most powerful empire on the planet did its best to snuff out the work of the love of God in the world. But then, God. Then, God. It's like the world give it your best shot. And then God rolls away the tomb, raises Jesus from the dead, and then the symbol of the destruction itself becomes for us a symbol of the power of God to defeat any power that can separate us from the love of God. The way the epistle that we just heard read says that it's in this language of obedience, right? It's that Christ was finally obedient, the one human that was finally obedient, even obedient to death on the cross. And on one level, that's problematic too. That feels like this is what God needed. You know, God somehow wanted this pain and suffering. But I don't think that's actually what that means. I think it means that Jesus was all in with how God was going to defeat the powers of death and violence and pain and suffering and to bring a different kind of life into the world. And so all the versions of the cross, think about how many different versions of the cross you have seen. And Google it. I mean, there's a whole chart. I looked at them this week just to see how many different ones there are. So a cross with Jesus on it, a crucifix to remind us of the pain of the suffering of the cross. The empty cross, which is on the front of your prayer books and your hymnals, reminds us of the resurrection of Jesus, that this is God's victory. And then the ornate cross is like it's hidden behind a pillar right now, but the processional cross that you acolytes will carry with the beautiful jewels say that Christ, that God has not only defeated the power of death, but has glorified that into resurrection, into beauty and healing and resurrection. And that is a whole different kind of problem. That becomes a problem for the world. God has said no to violence, pain, sin, destruction. The empty cross is God saying no to any way that we will harm one another, especially in the name of God. The empty cross is God's no to political violence. And the people of God that wear crosses are saying no to political violence. The empty cross is God's no to school shootings. And people that wear that cross are saying no to school shootings. The empty cross is God's no to manipulation, to control, to power, to murder, to rape, to all the things that we do to harm one another. God's saying no, no, no. And we, as the people of God, when we bear this cross on our bodies, or maybe you've tattooed it on your skin, you have it tattooed on your forehead. Do you know that? When you were baptized, you were sealed by the Spirit of baptism and anointed as marked as Christ's own forever. Marked. So it's there all the time. And then you know what? On Ash Wednesday, it magically reappears. Right? It's there. It's like, oh. I had a parishioner who once said that she was in a grocery store after Ash Wednesday, and somebody said, "Oh, you've got a cross on your forehead." She goes, "Oh, it's there all the time. You can just see it on Ash Wednesday." Isn't that beautiful? Think about that. Everywhere you go, as a baptized servant of the Lord, you are saying no to the violence of the world. And you are saying yes to love, to mercy, to welcome, to inclusion, to life, to resurrection. So this is a dangerous thing to a room full of teenagers. Go be a problem. Go be a problem to this world. Be a problem in the name of the empty cross. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.